Good morning, everyone. I'm Steve. I'm one of the pastors here at the Rio Church, and we are in a series right now called The Commands of Jesus. The series is based upon the Great Commission when Jesus said, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." And like it says up here, "and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." So the idea there would be that Jesus commissioned his followers to go and make more followers, more disciples, to spread his message of hope and forgiveness and how people can have salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And then he said, as you're making disciples, you know, make sure you're teaching them the things that I taught you. Teach them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And there's not really a list of things that Jesus taught other than the greatest commandment to love God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. But he says, everything I've commanded you. So in this series, what we're doing is just looking at the things that Jesus commanded. And so today we're going to look at the topic of giving. And I know that you're really excited about that. You probably woke up this morning and thought, man, when we go to church today, I hope they talk about giving. And as a pastor, it's always a little awkward to talk on this subject because I'm one of the ones who benefits from people's giving. And so it's a little bit awkward. And so I like to issue disclaimers when I talk on this because I think Jesus spoke pretty strongly on some of these things, and the Bible speaks pretty strongly, and I don't feel comfortable speaking that strongly unless I say something like this. So I'd like to ask you today not to give any more than you were planning on giving when you came in. My goal is not to take money from people or try to twist your arm or guilt you into giving. My goal is just to talk about the things that Jesus talked about. And so if you were planning on writing out a check for $1 million when you came in, we would be glad to cash it, but I don't want you to feel obligated to give anything extra because of this message. We've all seen different preachers and ministries take advantage of people's generosity, and that's not the flavor we want to have. And so you think that's ugly. I think that's ugly. Nobody wants to be any part of that. But giving was something that Jesus talked about a lot. You may have heard that, oh, he talked about it more than anything else, or that 25% of his parables were on giving. I think some of those things may be exaggerations. But he did talk about giving. It was something that was important. I don't know if I would list it as one of the top things that we need to obey, but I would say it is a significant thing. And if I was going to come up with a list of the 10 things that Jesus taught, this would certainly be one of them, and that's why it made it into this series. Jesus talked about it not as some financial obligation. It's not just a matter of numbers or a way to support his ministry or something, but he talked about giving as a matter of the heart. In Luke 16:10, Jesus said, "Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. Whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much." So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? He goes on, he says, "No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other. He will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." And so when he talks about, if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? What's he talking about there? It seems as if he's saying that God has entrusted us with worldly wealth. And if we're not faithful with that, how can we be trusted with true riches? Not even sure exactly what that is. People's souls or something, or making our lives really count, or living powerfully for his work. He's like, man, if God can't trust you with your worldly wealth, how can he trust you with more? And then down to verse 13. You can't serve both God and money. And you might notice in your Bibles that money is capitalized there. It's because it's used as if it were the name of a god. And so basically Jesus is saying, you can't have two gods. You might think, well, I can love God and I can have a lot of money too. And Jesus is saying, you know, when it comes down to it, you're going to choose one way or the other. And God, the Father, is going to end up being your God, or God, money, is going to end up being your God. And you're going to have to choose between those two. And so we see it's not just a matter of numbers, but somehow it relates to something in our hearts. And because of that, I think this is a really important topic. When I think about following Jesus and Jesus' commands, I don't necessarily think of money as being one of the big deals, but when I think about decisions that we make that are really life-changing, I think when someone makes a decision to be a generous giver, I think that is very life-changing because it releases money's control in our heart. And so Jesus thought it was an important topic, and I think it'd be good for us to look at it in depth here this morning. So, Heavenly Father, we pray that you would bless this time here. I pray you would just help us to kind of stay in a safe spot in terms of we don't want this to be ugly. We don't want ministry to be about trying to get people to dig deeper into their wallets. That's not the group of people we want to be. But you did talk about this topic. It seems really important to you. It seems like this is something that can grab our hearts. And so we just pray that you would use this time here today to instruct us, teach us. And if there is some issue in our heart, that you would just reveal that to us. We'd be willing to just make sure that you have first place in our life more than money or more than any other idol that can come in. And so I pray that you would just use this time to teach us here today. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to start off looking at the Old Testament a little bit, because when Jesus talked about giving, he wasn't just speaking in a vacuum. There was a context to what he was saying and who he was saying it to. And so the people who he was speaking to, their understanding of giving would play into how they would interpret the things that Jesus said. So just want to have a quick overview of Old Testament giving. The Old Testament giving that related to tithing, that they would give of 10% of their income. And I think that starts with this understanding that everything that we have comes from God. And so when God asked them to give, it wasn't that he was asking them to give out of what they had. He was asking them to give out of what he gave them. I really like this verse in Deuteronomy, just before they went into the promised land, basically saying, hey, someday you're going to be in the promised land and you're going to look around and say, wow, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. It's about remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. You'll feel like, man, this all came from my hard work. And saying, okay, well, that's a nice thought, but remember that it's God who gave you that drive, who gave you that energy, who gave you the ability to produce the wealth. It comes from him. And so God told the people in the Old Testament that 10% of what he gave to them belonged to him. Not that they were giving out of what belonged to them, but in his mind, it belonged to him. And so in Leviticus 27:30, it says a tithe or 10% of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. Not should be given to the Lord. It already belongs to the Lord. It's holy to the Lord. And just to highlight this point, we can see in Malachi, when people withheld the 10%, he didn't say, hey, you're not being generous. He said, you're robbing me. You're taking from what's mine because it belonged to him. So in Malachi 3:8, it says, will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You're under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you're robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. So you might remember a scene from Karate Kid. I know it's a really old reference, but it is a classic movie. But this is the wax on, wax off scene. And remember, Miyagi was going to give one of the cars to this boy. And imagine a scene similar to that. Imagine your father, some important figure in your life, has a collection of 10 cars and says to you, hey, you know, I'm really proud of you. Or I want to bless you. I'm going to give you 9 cars. And maybe he has all kinds of, you know, whatever, convertibles and old Corvettes and maybe some just antique cars, maybe an old beater pickup truck, maybe a Hummer, all kinds of different vehicles to choose from. Says, hey, I'll just give you all 10 up front and you can drive them around, test them, see what you want, what you like, and then I want you to give me one of my cars back because I need a car to drive around, but you can keep the other 9. There'll be yours to do what you want. You can keep them, you can sell them. I don't care, I'm not attached, but I just want you to give me the one car back. Well, imagine somebody in that spot holding on to that one car. Test driving them all, it'd be really hard to give up one of these. I really like all 10. Well, that would be a little ugly, a little selfish, and be like, well, he didn't really give you that one. That one belonged to him. And that's the way it was in the Old Testament. That's the way God viewed the tithe. So when they didn't give that car back, then they didn't give that 10% back, God said, hey, you're stealing from me. You're robbing me. That belonged to me. And so that was the mindset that people had in Old Testament times. And as Jesus is speaking to Jewish audiences, that's their background. When he talks about being giving, that's their starting point. Now, along with that, in Malachi, in the passage we just read, it goes on, it says, test me in this, and see if I'll not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you'll not have room enough for it. There's a blessing that comes with giving in the Old Testament. That as his people gave, there was a blessing that God would give back to them in some sort of way. Now, when we look at Jesus and what he said on giving, we'll see that there's a similar blessing in the New Testament. In Luke 6:38, Jesus said, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. With the measure you use will be the measure you receive. And so imagine someone taking dry goods and kind of handing God a bag of grain or something. The idea is he's handing it back and saying, you know, thank you. And here, I'm going to give what you gave, and then I'm going to press it down. I'm going to pour some more in and press it down, make sure there's plenty in this bag until it's overflowing. And then he gives it back. That's the word picture that Jesus is giving there. Now, I think this can be abused. I think this is abused. And people will say, you know, well, give and you're going to be financially rich. Or maybe even the reason you're not financially rich is because you don't give enough. Just give more. And it doesn't work that way. It's not, hey, you give 10% and you'll get back 12.5 or something. It's not like that. There is a blessing that comes with our giving. Sometimes it is financial. Sometimes it might be purely spiritual. Sometimes it might be the joy of giving, a happiness in our life. Sometimes it might be the joy of just being freed from the hold that money has on our hearts. There can be different ways that we receive that blessing. There is a blessing. It's not always financial. So we don't want to have this mindset of, you know, well, if I give, then I'll be rich. I think we do want to have the mindset, if I give, I'll be blessed. But it doesn't always come in financial form. We can just look at the disciples, look at Jesus. Their ministry did not result in them being financially rich. I think it did result in them being spiritually rich. So when I look at what Jesus taught here, if I were to just sum it up in two words, I would just say, well, be generous. That seems like that's the flavor of what he's teaching there. Be generous with what you've been given. Be generous, and then that brings the good life in some sense. It brings blessing. It brings joy. It brings future reward. And so when I think about Jesus' original audience, what would that mean to them? What would being generous mean to them when they came from an Old Testament background of tithing? Well, I would think one of two things. I would think that it would mean giving 10% and saying, well, this is what we've been used to, and this is generous. Being faithful with the tithe is generous. Or I would think that generosity to them would mean giving more than 10%. It's a little hard for me to fathom that it could mean give less. But that's not really spelled out there. You can make your own decisions on these things, but I want you to just think through some of these and come up with your own convictions. And I would encourage people to come up with some sort of a practical giving plan. You know, what is your conviction? If you're like, well, that's not my conviction, that's fine. Well, what is your conviction? Because that's the standard you'll be held to. God's going to look at you and say, what was your conviction, and did you follow that conviction? And so let me just share with you something that was taught to me years ago and that I think has been a real blessing. And the first thing is just to give 10%. I cannot prove absolutely that the New Testament teaches that you should give 10%. I think there's some verses that would imply that would say that's a good thing, but I can't outright prove it. But the average Christian gives 2 to 4% of their income. If your family income is $10,000 a year, you're wealthier than 84% of the world. If it's $50,000 or more a year, you make more than 99% of the world. And so when we think about Jesus asking us to be generous, what's that mean for us? What's that mean for us? Again, in my own convictions, it would be hard for me to say, well, I think that would be less than 10%, because it's just, we're so rich. Most of us, we're in the top 1% in the world. And for us to say, well, I'm in the top 1% in the world, but I think I should only give 2%. I don't personally see that as being generous, but again, I want you to develop your own convictions on this. And so I think the 10% is a great place to start. And then I encourage people to give from their income, not from their excess. 80% of Americans have debt. 39% of Americans have a credit card balance, have credit card debt. And I don't think God's heart would be, oh, you have credit card debt, so I don't want you to give. I think God's heart would be more of a, well, I want you to change your lifestyle so that you're in a spot that you can give. I don't think he would just say, well, 40% of people shouldn't give, because why do we have credit card debt? And I've had credit card debt at times in my life. And there's just a reality of when you don't have any money and you need a root canal, I would put on a credit card, personally. That's what I would do. You might have a better plan. And so it's not all bad debt necessarily, but a lot of it is. A lot of it's really God's provided us with a certain amount of blessing, a certain amount of money and income, and we're saying, yeah, that's not quite enough. I need to buy more things for myself to bless myself. And, oh, that puts me in a spot where I'm not really able to give to others. And so I would look at that and say, I don't think that's what God would want there. So I would encourage people to give from their income. I would consider even thinking about the benefits that you receive. I think those can be pretty significant sometimes too. Give to support your local church. This is what I was taught years ago. The idea being that the 10% that was given in the Old Testament was given to support the Levites. It's given to support God's ministry among his people. And so I think the parallel to that would be the local church. You can have different convictions, and that's fine, but that would be my personal conviction on that. And then to give above and beyond your tithe to other ministries and needs. And in the Old Testament, that happened too. So in the Old Testament, they gave 10% to God by giving to the Levites. And then above and beyond that, they were to help with the poor, and they would have special fundraisers for the rebuilding of the temple and things like that, that were above and beyond the 10. But I think that's a great starting point for people, or as you build your convictions, to think, okay, well, what do I think on each one of those 4 points? I think big picture, you want to think about this. In Acts 20:35, it says, the Lord Jesus himself said, it's more blessed to give than receive. You might be like, oh man, the stuff you just showed, that's crazy. I could never do that. That's an insane amount of money. And I think just to have the perspective of, it's really cool to give. It's a real blessing to give. It brings joy when we give. I had a neat opportunity a couple of weeks ago. I was out just in a neighborhood near here, just knocking on some doors, inviting people to church. And I'm talking to this guy, and this is kind of weird, but I'm talking to this guy. I've never met him before. And hey, I'm Stephen, Pastor of the Rio, just inviting people to church. And as I'm talking, I'm looking into his house. And there's this telescope with a lens like this big. And so I'm like, okay, I don't mean to be nosy here, but I got to ask. I said, what is that? You know, that looks amazing. It's like, oh yeah, I got that for my grandson. And so we just chatted for just 60 seconds. And I'm like, oh, well, you know, I was kind of interested in this a few years ago, and I got this book by the writer of Curious George on astronomy. And it was really, really good, really helpful, and it helped me learn a lot of the constellations and stuff. And so we were just chatting, just real briefly. And then just said goodbye, and that was it. I don't know that we'll ever see him at church or anything. It wasn't like this deeply spiritual conversation. But over the next couple of days, I'm driving around town doing different things. I'm like, I should get him that book. That would be really fun. It was right before Thanksgiving. I ordered it on Amazon. And I made a special little bookmark for it that was kind of oversized because it's kind of a big book. And it had some verses related to stars and things on it. And put a little note in there just so he would have some clue who I was. And then on Thanksgiving morning, I drove to his house and I didn't ring the doorbell or talk to him or anything, just stuck it in front of his door. I don't know that I didn't put the church name or anything. I don't know that he'll ever, I don't know how much that'll mean to him. It might be really weird. Like, what? This is so strange. But it was so fun. It was really fun for me. And it was, I don't know, that's one of the best things I've ever done on Thanksgiving. That'll be something I'll remember my whole life. And it would have been something that God really rewarded. It really mattered to him. Except now I told all you guys and I lost my reward. But that's okay. It was worth it. It was really fun. I really enjoyed it. There is a blessing in giving. I truly enjoyed that. And when I give to different ministries, I truly enjoy that. When I give to the church, I enjoy that. There's a blessing that comes with that. And so as you think through your plan, I would think about that. Just what do you really want to give from your heart? We'll look at that a little bit more later on. You might say, well, Jesus didn't talk about tithing. Your plan kind of revolves around tithing there. And so you are absolutely right. In the New Testament, I cannot prove that you should tithe. I think there's some verses that relate to it, but I can't just outright prove it. So what did Jesus say about giving? In Luke 11:39, as the Lord said to him, "Now then, you, a Pharisee, clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside you're full of greed and wickedness." So he's talking to this group, to these Pharisees, and they've been talking about this ceremonial cleansing of different things. And he says, he switches it. So they're not talking about this ceremonial cleansing of a bowl anymore, right? Because he says, inside the cup, it's full of greed and wickedness. What's he talking about there? Seems like he's switched. He's talking about their hearts. He's saying, inside the cup, there's greed and wickedness. "Do you foolish people, did not the one who made the outside make the inside also? But give what's inside the dish to the poor, and everything will be clean for you." What's inside the dish? Well, greed and wickedness. Well, we're not giving greed and wickedness to the poor. What are we giving to the poor? Maybe money? Seems like that would be it. So he's telling the Pharisees, hey, give your money to the poor. Let go of your heart's hold on money, and then the inside of the dish. Then your heart will be clean. And so Jesus didn't talk about tithing here, though it is interesting because the Pharisees were known for being tithers, right? That was the one thing that Jesus commended them for, the one thing that he said they were doing right. But here he's saying, evidently, I guess that wasn't enough. There was still something, not that the 10% wasn't enough, but there was still something wrong in their heart. And Jesus was saying that they could release that hold on their heart by giving to the poor. In Luke 12, Jesus said to his disciples, "Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near, no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." He's saying to his disciples, hey, sell your stuff and then give to the poor. And then you're going to have treasure in heaven, and then your heart will be connected to heaven. And it seems like maybe their possessions were an encumbrance. He said, well, get rid of your possessions, and then your heart can be locked into the things that really matter. Now, he doesn't really specifically say here, in this version at least, he doesn't say sell everything to the poor, but evidently they're giving in some significant way, right? That you would have to sell stuff in order to be able to give. So, yeah, he doesn't talk about tithing, but I don't know. That seems like a significant amount of giving, whatever he's talking about. Luke 18:22 is when Jesus heard this. He said to the rich young ruler, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. And then come follow me." So Jesus didn't talk about tithing, but he told this guy that this guy should sell everything that he had because he definitely had a love of money instead of a love of God. And so giving it away was the cure that Jesus presented to him. Mark 12:41. It says, Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." So here's this woman who probably wasn't even capable of tithing because I don't know that they had coins that were worth a tenth of a fraction of a penny. And she took the little bit above nothing she had and she gave it away to God. And Jesus looked at that and said, spot on. Good job. That was amazing. He didn't say, you know, that was foolish. You should have went and bought some bread or something. Let's be realistic here. Oh, wow, what a great picture. So again, didn't talk about tithing, but he commended her for this very sacrificial level of giving. In Luke 19:8, it says, Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay back four times the amount." So in this one, Jesus didn't stop Zacchaeus and say, "Whoa, Zacchaeus, you don't need to give 50%. Just give 10%, that'll be fine." He didn't do that. And he didn't say, "Whoa, Zacchaeus, I can see that your heart is still cold toward God. You know, you should have given 100% instead of 50. He seemed pleased with the 50 because that's evidently what God put on his heart, and that was a good amount for him. And so again, didn't talk about 10%, but the amount of giving we see there is pretty significant. Matthew 26:8. So when the disciples saw a woman anoint Jesus with expensive perfume, they were indignant. "Why this waste?" they asked. "This perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor." Now, this isn't the point of this passage, but I think it's kind of interesting that this was the mindset of the disciples. Their mindset was, when we have excess, it shouldn't be wasted. When we have excess, it should be sold and that money given to the poor. Maybe that was just their thought. Maybe this is something they had learned from watching Jesus. But again, it seems like a different perspective, perhaps, than we might have in American Christianity. Luke 14:33 says, "In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple." So Jesus didn't talk about giving away 10%, but he did talk about giving away 100%. So how do we do that? How do we do that? I found this little clip art thing. Whatever you do, always give 100%, unless you're donating blood. And that's kind of what it's like with money too, right? It's like if we go back to the example of the cars. Suppose someone gave you the 10 cars and said, "Well, just give back to me whatever you think." Suppose God did that with you. "Just give back whatever you think I deserve, whatever you think expresses your love to me." You'd be like, "Okay, that's a lot of pressure." Do I give you 9 cars? Do I just give you back all 10? I'm not sure how to handle this. So personally, I kind of like the idea of 10% because it's just kind of clean. It's just like, okay, well, this is what they did in the Old Testament, and it seems like this is a good starting point of the 10% and maybe giving some on top of that. And I feel pretty good about that. And then if God says, "Hey, I want 10% more," or he says, I want the other 90%, well, that's fine. It's yours. You can have whatever you want. But I feel really good starting with the tithe because I think that was the starting point of the people who Jesus was speaking to. So just a couple of the verses I want to look at in the New Testament. So this is not related to directly the teachings of Jesus, but as we see Jesus' followers living out the things that they've been taught, it might give us insight into how they understood Jesus. In 1 Timothy 6:17, it says, "Command those who are rich in this present world." And I think we should stop right there and remember that's us, right? Most of us, we're in the top 1%. Probably all of us are in that top, whatever that other number was, 87%. We're rich in this world. "Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous and willing to share." So don't put our hope in wealth. Be generous, be willing to share. I kind of take some pleasure or some relief that he doesn't say, "Command them to go sell everything they have." I'm like, okay. But he does say, "Be generous." So again, I would go back to, okay, well, what's that mean? What's that look like when you're in the top 1%? The verse continues on. Verse 19 says, "In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that's truly life." Somehow he's saying, hey, these people, when they do this, when they give generously, what it'll do is it'll allow them to set a firm foundation for the coming age. Somehow there's some reward that comes with that. Somehow they're building up some equity in heaven, and it allows them to take hold of the life that's truly life. I think that allows them to let go of their hold on things here and have some stake in eternity in heaven, to lay hold of that life instead of this life. In 2 Corinthians 9:6, there's a passage. I think this is the clearest passage in the New Testament on what giving looks like. It's not the only one, but I think it's the clearest one. And it says, "My point is this, the person who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the person who sows generously will also reap generously." Again, it seems like just real simply, instruction to be generous. Again, I would look at, okay, well, what's that look like for us in our world with our income, being in the top 1%? And then he says, every one of you should give just as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, because God loves a cheerful giver. And so if you're like, man, yeah, I really want to be a giver. My Father in heaven is a giver. Jesus is a giver. And I want to be a giver. And if that's your heart, and so you give more than you're giving now, or you give what you're giving now, or you give in some way that's an expression of faith to God, I think God's like, that's awesome. That's awesome. On the other hand, if you're like, are you serious? 10% or even 2%, or, you know, like, I can't do that. I'm not going to. And if that's your heart, then according to this verse, then don't. I wouldn't give if I felt that way about it. I think that's what it's saying. I don't think we'll do anything unless we think that it benefits us somehow. If you don't think it benefits you somehow, you don't think there's reward in heaven, you don't think it's better for you, you don't think God's going to bless, you don't think that your cup's going to run over or whatever, then don't give. That's fine. And I don't think if your heart's like, I don't want to do this, but you give anyway, unless there's some expression of faith in that, I don't know that's what God wants. Because God loves a cheerful giver, not a reluctant giver. And so I don't want people to give out of pressure. I just don't know that is going to benefit you very much. And so I sure wouldn't feel like you have to give anything more, but I would encourage you to develop your own convictions. Or as a couple, if you're married, develop convictions. What do you want to do? What do you think? How's God leading you? And then I would encourage you to just make practical adjustments. Giving in a significant way, giving generously, is not probably something you can do with your current budget. I mean, if whatever the number was, 30% of people have credit card debt, well, we're not even just able to make it based on what we have, even without giving. And so something has to change. And that's where I think decisions come into play, that we make choices of, okay, I have to live a different style. I have to think differently about my money to be able to do what I think God has put on my heart. And that's where I think you can really be freed up from the love of money when you're making decisions based upon, well, here's the life of faith that I want to live. And that's why I think it's such a blessing as people make this decision of, hey, I want to be a giver like my Father in heaven. It's this huge step in their life. And it results in really a transformation of lots of different parts of your life. Because you can't just say, yeah, I'm just going to, I don't know, most of us, we just don't have so much money that, well, I can give a significant chunk and it won't matter. No, I think to be generous means we have to live differently. And the reality is, you know, I've tried to practice giving over the years, and I've been pretty faithful with that. And I don't look at it and think, man, I have missed out on so much. I don't look at my peers and think, oh, they have 10% more than I do, or whatever that would be mathematically. You know, it doesn't seem that way at all. It's like, I feel really blessed. I look at my peers and it's like, I feel super blessed. Sure, there are people richer than me, but I sure don't feel like I'm missing out on anything. And I think people will give that testimony that as they've made a decision to give, that it all worked out. Again, I don't want to give the impression of just give and it won't cost you at all. I would start off with the mindset of, hey, to give at a generous level is going to be sacrificial. God will bless in some way. So I'm not saying it won't hurt at all, but I do think over the long haul, you'll be pleased with that. You'll be like, God bless that. That was a good thing. So I have other thoughts and The Bible has a ton of scriptures related to this. When I upload this, probably tomorrow, onto the website, I'll include some links to some other resources. If you ever have any questions on this, either just doctrinally or practically, okay, how do I do this or whatever, I'd be glad to talk to you. I don't have all the answers, but I might be able to help sort through some things with you. So let's pray. Well, Father, I just thank you that you have been generous to us. Thank you that, boy, spiritually, you've been incredibly generous to us. Thank you for sending Jesus to come and go to the cross for us. That came at a cost to you. You gave when you did that. I thank you that you've just blessed us being able to live in the United States, being able to live in this day and age of being able to just have heat and air conditioning and television, entertainment and music and glasses, braces, makeup, and just all kinds of things that you've blessed us with. And thank you for how you've given us things for our enjoyment, that you give them as a blessing. We shouldn't feel guilty that we're blessed, but we should feel blessed. And I pray that you would just help us to be generous to you and that you would just give us wisdom. I have my little plan, my little thoughts on things, but each one of us has to figure out what this looks like in our own lives. And so I pray that you would just lead us, give us wisdom, help us to sort through what generosity looks like in 2018. And I pray that you would just lead us. And probably most importantly, I just pray that our money and our possessions wouldn't have a hold on our heart. And I pray that if that's the case, that we would see that. And I feel like it's hard to live in this society and not sense that to some degree. And so I pray for all of us just that you would give us wisdom as we evaluate that in our own lives. Just guide and direct us. So we love you. We thank you for this time here. In Jesus' name, amen.